I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Wop, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
I'm German-Irish. Well, let me tell you something, my Kraut Mick friend.
Our love for you is ticking clock, Berserker. Would you like to suck my cock, Berserker?
That's beautiful, man.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life. There's a time you got to know to go, know that the facts of life. The facts of life. When the world never seems to be living up to your dreams, suddenly you're finding out the facts of life are all about you. All about you. Woo! It takes a lot to get home right. When you're learning the facts of life, facts of learning the facts of life.
Okay, that was pretty gay.
How gay was that?
Very.
This is the CBS Evening News. With Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation.
Military threat.
The flaming debris. Fatal heart attack. Stress injuries. Prison disaster. Economic collapse. Dangerous radiation. A tide of violence and human misery. A liar and an unremorseful killer. Communist international smuggling pipeline. Starving victims and how they die. Chemical weapons, carpet bomb deaths. Tough FBI killed and injured children. Police conspiracy. Negative attacks. Discipline, sex and drinking binges. Dying of a heart attack. Dying of breast cancer. Dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb. Mountains of credit card debt. The mountain of cocaine. Tons of cocaine. Atomic bomb radiation experiments. Unwitting test subjects, dangerous radiation, marijuana abuse, hooked on drugs.
Time for us to bug out.
Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Sex, drugs, and rocked by rape. Nazis, war criminals, cancer, darkness, murder, caution, terrorist, castigation, police conspiracy, dramatic urban torture, drunk driving, hostage siege, government shutdown, collapses, desperation, despair, deep into debt, criminals persecuted, semi-automatic handgun, explosive gunman killed a tourist, funeral victims, racist, massive lawsuit, hostage, ethnic war, cancer death rate fleeing for their lives. CIA narcotics operations. Hungry, homeless, frustrated terrorists. Spoiled, unsanitary, hard-hitting losers. Brutal, bizarre, critical bombing. The gang's rule. Criminal anti-government love triangle. Deeper and deeper into damage, even death. Anti-drug DEA. Worldwide ban. Time for us to bug out. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Sex, drugs, and rocked by rape. Disgruntled conspirator attack. Killed. U.S. warplane went down in flames. Crash. Gunned down. Shooting death. Blood drops. Murderer. Desperate. Tragedy. Isn't he dead? Death penalty. Ransom note. Forbidding. Notorious. Overwhelming. Communist. Urban. Punishment. Low ethics, extortion and murder. A plane crash set an entire neighborhood on fire. International smuggling pipeline. Make it faster, better, cheaper. Health risk, criminal murdering a man. Tough, diplomatic hell on earth. Magnetic radiation, fraudulent assassins, mysterious murder, chemical terrorism, military targets, fatal crash, danger. Freak accident. No known survivors. Wild and woolly semi-automatic truck bomb. Emergency anti-fatal shooting rampage. A notorious negative police brutality. Fear. The hidden Nazis next door. Marxist rebels. Serious murderer. Accidents, problems. Punitive damage.
like that negative, heart-wrenching controversy, time for us to bug out.
Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Sex, drugs, and rock by rape.
Bug out, bug out, bug out, bug, bug. And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS Evening News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night, and have a great weekend.
Welcome, everybody, to the ninth episode of Infonomicon Radio. I am your host, Droops, and I am co-hosted with...
Obfuscated, but aren't we both co-host? Or are you still the main host here?
Maybe I should start over. But no, we don't start over in this show. Today is August 31st, 2004, which is a very awesome day because it is our really good buddy Pixel Fiend's birthday. And we actually asked him to be on the show, but he said he had some stuff to do with his wife and could not make it.
That's kind of makes us sad. Makes
yes,
us feel like
makes
second
us sad.
Second rate.
We should be more important, but whatever, you know, but once we have his kids, I guess we'll be more important.
But we did put together this little clip for him.
Yes, yes.
And we'll go ahead and play it now.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pixel Fiend. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
Okay.
And I really can't believe that you played that. I really can't believe that we recorded that. But Pixel Fiend, that's how much we love you, buddy.
Okay, man. Also, moving along, we have somebody else is hosting the show now for us, Majestic. So pimp out to him. We're going to put his his site on our website, which is new. We have to talk about now. We have a new website. We're not on hackermedia.net anymore. We're infonomicon.org. We're an organization.
Yes, a horrible, horrible organization, but yet we are.
If you can't spell that, if you're literate, that's infonomicon.org, that's the period, O-R-G.
Can you say that one more time, please?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Did you get any email or anything? Or
I didn't get shit.
I did get a letter from Pixel Fiend.
Oh, what'd he say?
And I'm so unprepared that...
That you're ready to read it right not now.
Exactly.
Well, actually, I did get an email from Pixel Fiend. Mr. Pixel Fiend has helped us with a graphic that we're adding to our website as we speak. And it's freaking awesome.
I liked it as well.
Did you? That's good, because it doesn't matter. I did. Anyway, we're trying to change in the format of the show a little, as in we're going to have a low-bandwidth version that we're offering on the website.
Totally against my consent, but go ahead.
But there are people that have dial-up and would like to download the show.
I'm totally unsympathetic.
And wait, why are we recording the show so late, Mr. Obfuscated?
Okay, let's just say that, I got to tell this story, don't I?
Mm.
Number one is women problems, so I'm not going to talk about. Fuck women. Okay. Another reason it was because my internet connection was down. I spent 2 days trying to figure out what the fuck was wrong with it. So, Monday morning, recording this on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
It's Tuesday. And I decided to call Cox up, and I waited 40 minutes, listened to the little lady repeat herself over the phone over and over and over again. So I finally got somebody. They gave me a referral number that had to call somebody else. So I called somebody else. Waited another 20 minutes. Finally got somebody on the phone. His name was Marcus.
Yay!
Marcus is a douchebag.
Oh.
Come to find out that I was caught illegally downloading something. No, illegally sharing.
And what would this be, buddy? Porn?
No. I wish. At least I have something to complain about. The show Dead Like Me. Through, of all things, BitTorrent.
Well, BitTorrent's kind of known for not being secure for hiding your porn sharing.
Well, that's the thing. It's not porn.
Or whatever, shitty TV.
Well, I didn't know that. The only reason why I think that they didn't come after me in lawsuits or anything is because it is a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say I don't have HBO that I can't record? No, it's a Showtime show. Never mind. That I don't have Showtime that I record and I put on my computer, which is not illegal.
Okay.
Which is kind of hard to download and not share, well, on BitTorrent. Right, because that's the whole concept of share while you're downloading at the same time.
Yeah.
So I guess that fucks me over on downloading things on BitTorrent.
At least does a little bit, does a little bit.
At least things illegal.
All right. Well, speaking of you, Mr. I like to share things illegally over the internet, that there was recently a crackdown that they nabbed 150, quote, cyber criminals. And maybe you were one of them. I don't know.
I probably was. No, there's no lawsuit or anything. I was just told to stop. Basically, he was giving me a warning. Now I've got my internet connection back up. Like, he said, we also sent you an email. I'm like, oh, thanks. Because I could get that, right?
Have you gotten it yet?
Fuck no, I don't have it. I forgot I don't never use that, the cox.net.
But see, it's cox.net, buddy.
I don't never use that, so. I forgot.
Well, anyway, are you ready to start some news?
No, I'm not.
Okay, start talking then.
Also, there's been a few emails I've gotten.
Is this show about news? We should really do some news.
Probably, but we have to do housekeeping first. I like to talk to, you know, one-on-one with the listeners. You know, we got like a therapy session going on here, it seems like.
It's radio. That's what we do.
Right. There's been a lot of, you know, people writing me. I'm not going to list their names because it's unimportant. That basically all we're doing is reading off Slashdot, which is not the case at all. What we do is, after what I'm about to say, I'm going to tell you where we get all our list from. And also, if you go to our site and you go to the links section, the first set of links is where we get our sources from. Both me and whatever your name is.
Droops.
Oh, okay. Just checking. And this is not different from what they do on real radio. I guess people think we're supposed to go on the beat and find out every news by ourselves, only us, right? But and I've worked as an intern at a two radio stations, so I know for a fact I was basically a gopher there. So what I did in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning was go out to a local newsstand, buy a bunch of papers, go in, and then they had people on staff who read the articles, make summaries of them, and give them to the people, you know, actually on the radio. And, of course, their job is to read that and then have conversations about it, which is what we do.
All right.
Okay, what are you doing?
I was coughing. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, just to let you know, this is, I'm going to go ahead and read our sources to you, so it's going to be the only time we read them on the air. If you really want to know, you can go to our website. First one's BBC News, CNET, CNN, Google, Internet News, News Factor, Root Secure, Security Focus, Tech News World, The Wall Street Journal, New York Times, PC World, and Wire News. Wire News is Droops. I don't trust Wire News.
I like to read it. Whatever.
Okay.
Wired Magazine is full of shit, but the little Avant Go channel with Wired News isn't that bad.
Okay. Whatever.
My disclaimer.
Okay, man. Go ahead with the news.
Oh, is that what we're doing now?
Why not?
Well, anyway, I'm going to start talking about music, because I recently came across an iPod that was now mine. And actually, it was a birthday present from my dad. But anyway, whatever. I'm too old to be getting cool stuff like that, but I do anyway. HP is about to start selling iPods. And they're already installing iTunes on the new Hewlett-Packard computers. And you're saying, well, why isn't HP making their own stuff? You know, they're supposed to be the create guys or, you know, this, that, and the other. This is excellent news for everybody, even if you don't like, per se, an iPod. HP is working on becoming more of a digital media company than just a computer company. They're actually unveiling a lot of products that are about to start becoming a in the living room type of computers instead of like in the computer room or the back room. And that's nice for HP, and it's not really that great for us. But iPods, by default, get music from, they can take MP3s on them, or you can put the Apple from iTunes onto your iPod. And, wait, they don't play the WMA format, and we all know who pushes the WMA format, and that's really good. And HP is a really big brand name for idiot people. You have your guys that are like, ooh, is it as good as a Dell? And you have your people that compare HPs to heaven on earth. I don't really own an HP anymore.
They still make computers?
Yeah, I've actually learned about that. But there's a lot of people, they're going to see this HP iPod and think, this is something that I could buy. This isn't some fancy, I'm sitting in a coffee shop on wireless internet, you know, looking cool kind of guy thing, like an iPod sort of is. And this is going to bring iPods out into the mainstream more than they are now. And
so it's
going to
be
a big blow.
Apple.
No, it's actually built by Apple. It's just got a HP logo on it. It's going to be white, just like the regular old Apple iPod. And it's a big blow to Microsoft, who's about to open up their own internet music site.
So we're going to need, which they're going to release a new player for it, of course, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
To compete against Apple. And so we're going to have three players?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
And this is awesome. And Microsoft, Mr. Company of Closed Standards, has a slogan for their new music show or music website where it's going to be plays for sure. They're going to brand stuff like that as in it'll play for sure on your device. But iPods aren't going to be branded with that because it won't play the Microsoft DRM'd up crap. Anyway, think that's cool. Give money to other people other than Microsoft if you got to give it up.
Well,
or just download the music for free from places like LimeWire.
And burn them onto a CD and listen to them in your car and skip the whole iPod thing.
Or get an iPod and wear it every day on your belt with all your other fancy shit.
And look gay.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a knife that I wear. I wear my iPod. I wear my iPack. I wear my GPS. I wear my flashlight. And as soon as I get a thing from my palm, I'm going to wear it too.
How about your pin protector?
No, actually, I don't have the pocket protector because I don't have a shirt pocket on my work shirt. But I do have my broken glasses with the tape.
You do?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, man.
All right, go ahead, buddy.
Photos supposedly taken in a Paris airport elevator hit the web on Thursday, fueling rumors that a new machine will be similar to Apple's new line of flat panel displays with the guts of the computer behind the LCD. The photos, which have not been verified as authentic, show a slim, all-in-one computer inside the familiar Apple packaging, down to the signature black-and-white box. The pictures showed up about 2 weeks after ThinkSecret posted information claiming to describe two new iMac models, one with a 17-inch display and a 1.6 GHz G5 processor, and another with a 20-inch display with an 8.6 GHz G5 processor. The site claims the models would be priced between $1,300 and $2,200 and encased in an all-in-one housing with the motherboard located behind the display. Have you ever seen any of these computers before?
Actually, I'm looking at apple.com/iMac, and it's showing a picture because that was actually a true thing, not a rumor.
I've actually dealt with a, I think it's either Dell or Compact that was all-in-one. You know, just a monitor.
Sony makes one.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it was a Dell or it was one of those bigger name brands that I dealt with. The thing's a pain in the fucking ass to deal with. The thing weighs like about 80 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like a monitor that weighs 80 pounds. And It's weird how they get every all these components. It's they're not like, you know, miniature hard drives or anything like they use for
laptops.
Right. They're real. All of it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Size of the motherboard, everything. And they cram it all into like this little tiny fucking space. So everything goes wrong. Good luck.
Well, I'm looking at them right now. They're pretty sporty looking.
Yeah, they are, but you got to take the good with the bad, too.
Yeah. It'd be a pain in the ass to work on, but I think Definitely. All Apples are that way.
Right. Okay.
Oh, is it my turn? Well, the other day, the Bug Me Not website that we had previously pimped went offline. Well, I guess someone's listening to our show or just paying attention to everyone else in the fucking world. And someone sent a cease and desist letter to Bug Me Not. And their internet service provider took them offline. But now they are now back online and ready to go. And it's really nice. They have a new interface, kind of, and it's really nice.
Why would they get taken off the air? I mean, off the web.
Off the air. Well, they're doing something that's circumventing security and, information collecting. And the New York Times probably really doesn't appreciate all that.
No, I don't think it's security. I think it's more of information collecting.
Yeah,
because those questions they ask you before signing on is nothing like, you know, would you like, you know, free coupons? Would you like, you know, what's your name? What's your address? You know, what's your mother's maiden name? You know.
Well, anyway, they're based out of Australia.
Oh, so they ain't got to worry about anything.
So they ain't got to worry about U.S. laws, per se. All right, and if you want a real story, the European Commission has opened an investigation into the planned acquisition of a company called ContentGuard. ContentGuard makes DRM, which is Digital Rights Management, and they're about to be acquired by Time Warner and our good buddy, Microsoft. Now, ContentGuard was spun out of Xerox, the Palo Alto Research Center, maybe y'all have heard of this. And this joint acquisition could also slow down the development of open interoperability standards. I can't say that word either. And the commission is investigating whether or not it'd be better for consumers to have one supplier of DRM, like Microsoft, or to have an open standard and letting companies like Infonomicon Incorporated to be able to make DRM without having to pay royalties to Microsoft.
We're incorporated?
We should be.
I'll get on to that now.
Okay, hurry up, please. All right, so Microsoft again in the news with doing something that people don't think is fair. All right, go ahead.
Okay, this is coming along, you know, personal grounds here. I don't want to get too personal with the show, but, you know, this has to deal with somebody within our own company. The Infonomicon staffed. Circuit City is phasing out the cell of T-Mobile wireless service as it prepares to focus on launch of Verizon wireless stores within its own walls. They'll operate in more than 570 Circuit City stores nationwide. The rollout will begin in September and should be completed by November. Circuit City now carries Verizon and T-Mobile services and products, but the consumer electronics retailer will stop selling T-Mobile in the next couple months. Verizon Wireless will operate the stores within Circuit City stores and will be responsible for employees, inventory, displays, and signage. Circuit City operates 602 superstores and 5 mall-based stores in the United States. The recently acquired Intertan unit, which operates more than 1,000 outlets in Canada.
Tell us more about that.
Well, when I was going through my e-learning, learning all about Circuit City, I had to learn all about Verizon, and I had to learn all about T-Mobile. And this is, I have kind of mixed feelings about us losing T-Mobile, because where I live in North Mississippi, Verizon isn't in here, so we won't be getting any kind of cell phone at all. We're just losing T-Mobile. And pretty much as soon as I learned the system and learned how to do all the T-Mobile stuff, they're cutting it out, and that kind of pisses me off. But that's pretty much how Circuit City operates, I think, there. I was kind of excited because I knew stuff, and they're like, ha-ha,
they're doing
not
it
anymore, you fucker.
They're doing it because of you. You know that, right?
I know, and I really feel this. But I'm also kind of relieved because there's this goddamn ad by those motherfuckers at T-Mobile. Y'all have all seen those stupid fucking commercials where the guy gets the little gerbil up his pants and he starts hollering around, woo, 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 woo. That fucker plays every 2 minutes in my store. I hear, woo, 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 every 2 minutes of my working day. It's fucking horrible. You can't turn the volume down on the display. You can't turn it off. We have, like, meetings, and all we hear is, woo, 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 the whole fucking time. It's fucking horrible. It's fucking horrible.
Hey, put the mic closer to your face.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway.
Do that one more time for me.
No. That's enough of it.
Okay, man, it's your turn.
Oh, is it my turn? I was just doing the woohoo woohoo thing. Okay, this is a quick little bit. They're working on satellite television for your vehicle. There's several companies that do this. Right now they're providing 140 channels straight into your larger vehicle, like an SUV that has a large roof to mount this antenna, or a luxury car, things like that, or a minivan. The antenna is 31 inches in diameter and 5 inches tall. One of the main companies that's doing it is a company called KHV. And this is kind of nerdish, because we all want to watch TV while we're driving. But the most important thing about this is everyone had satellite TV, and then they started being able to get satellite internet. I can't wait till I have high-speed internet through satellite riding around in my truck wherever I go. Anyway, I'm just excited.
Who wants to watch TV while they drive?
People with their kids.
Yeah.
And me.
Like 2 weeks.
It makes Jennifer be quiet when we play a DVD in the truck.
Does she listen to this show?
I'm hoping she doesn't listen to this one. Like, we'll play like some Seinfeld or something like that, and it'll entertain her while we're driving.
It reminds me, like 2 weeks ago, I was driving, and I seen this guy in this like this 1992 like POS, you know, and he has like, of course, like TV.
He stole your car,
huh?
He stole your car.
Well, he has TVs like. All four seats, of course, you know, front, back, whatever. And they're all playing porn. The dude has, like, you know, those rims that turn around and shit.
The spinners?
You whatever the fuck they're called. They're gay. Anyway, do those run on, like, AA batteries?
No.
Just thought so. Anyway, he's running down. He has all the windows down, right? And now you hear him drive, like, going, ah, fuck me, ah.
That's fucking cool.
Got pulled over by the cops. Actually, they were trying to pass a law here that's illegal to do that. Play porn while you're driving.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Do they have nothing better to do?
I don't know. I wish I could get that job. But, what am I trying to say? Few would have thought that when Crick and Watson unraveled DNA, it would help make, help in making a tool to fight spam, but biologists at IBM's T.J. Watson Research Center have devised an anti-spam filter based on the way scientists analyze genetic sequences. It's called after feng shui character, I'm sure I'm pronouncing this wrong, Chung Kuei. The formula automatically learns patterns of spam vocabulary as proved to be 96.5% effective. In test, the filter only misidentified one message in 6,000 as spam.
Excellent.
No shit, huh? That is. I knew this DNA research was going to come good for something.
Thank God. All right. There's a lot of people that have cell phones with cameras on them. Do you have one of those?
No.
I don't either. But these people that have nothing better to do than have a camera on their cell phone are taking pictures and short video clips with their cell phones, and they're having a major frustration. They can only send them to cell phones, you know, to other cell phones, only if the person they're sending it to subscribes to the same cell phone provider. But wait, Singular Wireless, the son of a bitch of cell phones, Tuesday, they announced that they are going to have this thing. They've signed an agreement. It's called Intercarrier Multimedia Messaging Service. They signed it with AT&T Wireless.
There's not an acronym for that yet?
It would be the IMMS. Lowercase I. And they signed it with AT&T Wireless Service. Do you catch what I'm saying that's so funny?
Yeah.
And what would that be?
I don't know. The small I made me laugh.
Okay. That those two carriers are pretty much about to be the same company. In February, AT&T and Singular announced that Singular would acquire AT&T for $41 billion, forming the largest cell phone service provider in the country. So pretty much they're just practicing before they merge together.
Oh, man, that's so fucked up. That is so fucked up.
They didn't sign it with, like, T-Mobile or Verizon or anything. They just pretty much signed it with AT&T.
Huh. Singular. I don't like Singular. That little thing, that mascot thing they have.
The Jack.
Huh?
It's like Jack, like playing that, Jacks.
I didn't get that. You're weird.
You never played Jacks when you were a little kid?
Yeah, but I didn't get that from that little like blob of shit. Looks okay. Like little turds okay. To me. I don't know.
All right, buddy.
It bothers me.
I like it.
You do?
Dude, it's like, it shows me not to go in that building. You see it, and you're like, don't go there.
It's like the gates to Auschwitz, huh?
Like if I was going to look for a pawn store and I saw that little three ball thing with, I don't know what it looks like, I would go into that pawn store and I would say, it's a pawn store. But when I see that little logo, I'm like, those people fucking suck. And it helps me. It warns me.
Okay, and some good news, actually. Open source rival to Exchange released. Netline Internet Service, an Opel Germany-based company that develops a competitor to Microsoft's Exchange email and collaborative service software, on Monday fulfilled a promise to release its product as open source software. The Open Exchange Server, which is OPEN-XCHANGE server software, is available on the company's website, which we're going to put a link up to. The Open Exchange product released under the GPL already is used as part of Novell's SUSE Linux Open Exchange Server software. So they're going up against Microsoft, which it's not going to work, but hey, good luck. No. Good luck.
Charge, buddy. Go over the top.
Yeah. You can do it.
All right. As many people know, we record the show on Skype now. And as someone so nicely pointed out, we aren't the first internet radio to use Skype because Rant Radio something another uses it also. But whatever. We're the first, okay, fuckers? We're the fucking first. Anyway.
We're the first to do it with Host, Obfuscate, and Droops.
Yes.
Beat that shit.
DNO, O, and D. Using the Skype. All right. Now, Skype uses a protocol called VoIP, and there's lots of companies that are actually charging for VoIP, and there's a price war that's hit this internet calling thing. There's a lot of fierce price competition that's going around, and consumers are used to prices of new technologies eventually falling. But with the internet phone calls, the industry has begun to lower its rates at a remarkable early stage, reflecting the low cost of providing the service and the cutthroat nature of the phone business. AT&T recently extended an introductory offer of $19.95 a month for its Call Vantage service, and that offers unlimited local and long-distance calling through the end of September. Vonage, a pioneer of internet calling, took $5 off the price of its monthly service, which is now $29.99 a month. And there's a company called Primus Telecom, who's charging $19.95 a month for a Lingo service, which gives you unlimited free calling to Western Europe, which is the good side of Europe, and recently added a feature allowing customers to pick an overseas number from any of 12 countries. So pretty much, if you want a number from Germany, you can pay $19.95 a month and have a German telephone number.
Do you talk to anybody in German? In Germany?
Ich spreche kein Deutsch.
Do you talk to anybody over there?
What?
Do you talk to anybody over there?
No, I don't know anyone in Germany.
You know, we should find someone in Germany and do like a whole show with them.
Okay.
But like, they don't understand English and we don't understand German.
That would be horrible.
It's what our listeners, anyway, it's what our listeners deserve.
Prices are most likely to keep dropping in the months ahead because it's so much cheaper for companies to run an internet phone service than run a conventional phone network. You don't have to buy hundreds of millions of dollars worth of telephone equipment, and consumers making calls on the internet can cost to a third or a third to two-thirds less than a traditional phone plan. Now, with this internet calling, there's a couple trade-offs. Your phone service is only as reliable as your internet connection, so when you download Dead Like Me or whatever, you have no phone for 3 days, along with no internet, because you can't even call fucking the bitch. You're just fucked right there. You got to go to a friend's house. And you can't call 911 and have them know exactly where you are without you telling them.
This brings up an important point. Everybody's switching over to VoIP and eventually going to switch over there. And no one understands the importance of having a landline plus having an actual corded phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Would a corded phone be a landline?
A lot of people have cordless phones.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, the importance in that is that when I live in the South and we get a lot of hurricanes, storms, and everything. And I know a lot of people that just have cell phones or have wireless phones. And, of course, when the fucking lights go out, you're fucked. You have no phone. But, like, I always keep a corded phone. Always. No matter where I lived at, it's a piece of shit corded phone I paid $5 at Goodwill for. So just in case something happens, I have that handy.
It's a handy thing to have. My phone right by my desk is the only thing that stays plugged in in this room when there's light and outside, and it's corded.
So, don't trust everything in new technology.
And I have to break in right here. And when Obfuscated was talking about finding someone in Germany to record the show with that didn't speak English, I watched Clerks last night for a little bit, just flipping through to make sure I downloaded the whole movie. And I stopped on the spot where the guy's singing in Russian, but he's singing in English, but he's from Russia. And he sings...
Berserker, yeah.
My love for you is like a truck berserker. Would you like some making fuck berserker?
Did he say
my love for you is like a rock berserker.
Did he say making fuck? You know they sell a t-shirt like that.
Really?
Yeah, with the band's tour dates.
Would you like to smoke some pot, berserker? Okay, I'm sorry. I had to get that out of my system before I just sat here and giggling like a little girl.
Okay.
Is it my turn or your turn?
My turn.
All right.
Okay, 35 years after computer scientists at UCLA linked two bulky computers using a 15-foot gray cable, testing a new way to exchange data over networks, what would ultimately become the internet remains a work in progress. University researchers are experimenting with ways to increase its capacity and speed. Programmers are trying to immune web pages with intelligence. And work is underway to re-engineer the network to reduce spam and security troubles. All the while, threats loom. Critics warn that commercial, legal, and political pressures could hinder the types of innovations that make the internet what it is today. Steve Crocker and Vincent Cerf were among the graduate students joined UCLA professor Lynn Klinrock and an engineer lab on September 2nd, 1969, as bits of meaningless test data flowed silently between the two computers. By January, three other nodes joined the fleeting network. There came email a few years later, a core communication protocol called TCP/IP in late 1970s, the domain name system in the 1980s, and the World Wide Web, now the second most popular application behind email in 1990. The internet expanded beyond its initial military and educational domain into businesses and homes around the world. And it's basically just expanding. These guys are still working on continuing the progress of the internet.
Excellent.
And how I just don't understand, it's kind of sad that like 30 years ago it was just so simple to create this technology. Now it's coming so fucking hard of implement new technologies in it to make it more efficient. kind of like the car is nowadays. Like, you know, it's so easy just to, you know, start making these cars and start finding new ways to innovate them. But now it's so hard to try to find alternative fuel choices. When there are out there, it's just so hard to implement them because there's so many factors of a car that can't be taken out. Yet the oil companies are so, like, you know, into the cars. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of greedy bastards in oil, I was thinking about this the other day. Jennifer and I were watching a train go by, and she said, are those, like, you know, 18-wheeler trailers on the back of the train? And I said, they sure are. And she said, then why do they still drive trucks across the country when you can just put them on a train? Wouldn't that be so much more efficient? And it would. And I looked into this, and where they take the 18-wheeler cars, either the whole trailer or just the box, that's called intermodal. And when intermodal came up with, you can put it on trains, trucks, and ships, and it was awesome. It was saving money for everybody. It was cheaper. And some unions got together and some lobbyists got together and lobbied Congress and to stop the spread of this intermodal. So you're actually limited to – our government limits how many intermodal yards we can have in our country. And you say, well, that's insane. Why are they doing that? Well, one thing, you have to pay a lot of truckers, and it, you know, provides a living for all the, you know, a lot of poor people who drive trucks, and that's really good.
They make they make pretty good money. Don't call
and
it
if you, you know, the important reason is if you had a train that was driving through Mississippi, that bastard doesn't have to stop anywhere in Mississippi to fuel up for gas. But if you have an 18-wheeler driving through Mississippi, each one of those fuckers is going to have to stop, buy gas, and pay local taxes on that gas and pay state taxes on that gas. And there's a lot of money made for the state off of truckers' taxes. And that's why that we don't have more intermodal and we have so many damn 18-wheelers.
And tickets they get going too fucking fast.
Oh, tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you see the road crowded with truckers and you're like, why don't they put all this shit on a train? It's because there are some greedy motherfuckers that want tax revenue off those truckers.
Yeah, you can't blame the truckers so much, though.
No, I'm not blaming the truckers. Like, that's a good job for a lot of people, and they make good money.
They make pretty damn good money, yeah.
I had a guy came in the store today, bought like a $2,000 Sony laptop, and he was a trucker, and he just wanted his wife to be able to play solitaire and watch movies.
Basically to shut up.
Basically to shut up in the car, in the truck with him. But that's why that still goes. She was a driver, too. She'd been driving for the trucking company longer than he had.
Was her name Sandy? I like to watch DVDs.
Oh, yes.
I like Clerks.
Clerks is an excellent movie.
I can't believe you downloaded that. Won't you just go buy the damn thing?
But the guy was dressed like Minnie Pearl.
No shit. Did he have the teabag thing going over his head?
And the wife's name was Bambi.
I'm Bambi. I lose freight.
Maybe you don't get that reference, but I'll shut up now.
The, okay, man.
Did you get it? No?
Get what?
The Bambi Minnie Pearl reference.
I didn't watch Hee-Haw.
There was a Bloodhound Gang song.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm...
You're not down with the Bloodhound Gang?
I'm just slow tonight.
I'm just drinking beer, and I'm thinking random thoughts. And now I'm going to talk about a real article. You just talked about combining two things, and I'm going to talk about combining two things. In an attempt to shore up music sales, something just fell in my room. I don't know what the hell it was, and it just scared the living shit out of me. But okay. All right. In an attempt to shore up music sales, there are four globally recorded music companies announced yesterday plans to introduce a new kind of disc that plays like a CD on one side and a DVD on the other. This new disc, called a dual disc, is set to reach stores in October, and with a handful of releases from Warner Music Group, Sony, Bertelmann's, I don't know that one, and EMI, and Vivendi, I don't know them either. I don't listen to mainstream music much. Anyway, these discs were test marketed in February and are expected to reach wider audiences in October. The music companies have high hopes for these discs, though album sales are up 7.5% this year. They need to make more money. And the first batch that's released is likely to include a mix of old and new titles, by Miles Davis, Nine Inch Nails, Jane Addiction, and others. Prices are varying from title to title. Most will be near the price of traditional CDs. Now, these dual discs are a little bit thicker than traditional CDs, and according to people familiar with the matter, potentially cause playback problems for about 1% of users. So they're adding value to CDs. They're putting some DVD videos in it and shit. You can play around with it when you buy your CD.
That's really cool.
It's
not going to work.
It's not going to work, but it's cool. At least they're trying to add value to the CD.
Oh, Jesus. Don't talk, you know, add value to the CD. You think they're actually going to charge the same price?
We'll see, won't we?
They're not. They're going to charge like $35 for you. Remember those little mini discs that came out?
Yeah, those little bastards were expensive.
Yeah, exactly. And it didn't hold as – I don't know how much they held.
All right, I bet you a dollar that they're around the price of traditional CDs.
You want to place a money bet?
Yeah, a dollar.
Okay.
I'm poor. That's a lot of money.
I'll bet you $1. If these we'll keep this story ongoing to find out. When they said they were releasing it, February, January?
October.
Oh, October.
I'm going to buy some of this shit.
You're going to buy some of those?
Well, I might listen to it in the store.
Okay. Oh, you probably – that's right. Circus City cares that kind of shit. Okay. I bet you they won't be. I'm guessing. Okay. I'm a guess within a figure. How much are CDs at your store now, regular price?
Like anywhere from 11 to 20.
I bet you if they're 20, I can see that. I'm going like 25.
Okay.
25.
Betting a dollar.
$25.99. Okay.
And then you have to think, if they can make a DVD added to a CD that cheap, why can't they do it for other things too?
That's going to make a bigger problem. That 1% they're talking about, it's going to be larger than that. CDs are very, very, very fucking picky on the weight of them. I've known CD players that when you put that little, they sell those the stickers for the top of them for your list of songs or whatever.
Yeah.
If that's the wrong weight, it won't fucking play right.
I can't wait to see it. Someone put one of these things in a player that holds it at the top like a boombox.
Yeah.
And just scratches the fuck out of the DVD.
Yeah, that's what's going to wind up happening.
But that's kind of a prelude to our quote of the week, which we have yet to announce.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Go ahead. Tell a story. I'm going to get a beer while you're doing it, though.
You're making one?
What?
You're making one?
I'm getting one.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
Sorry.
About a third of businesses plan to migrate at least some Windows machines to Linux, according to a recent survey, but adoption will continue to be both slow and cautious as companies evaluate a maze of economic factors. In a report of total cost of ownership for the Linux, Unix, and Microsoft Windows operating systems, the research company The Yankee Group, what a nice name, found that only 4% of businesses plan to migrate Unix services to Linux within the next 2 years. A total of 11% intend to move to Windows servers to Linux, while 21% propose to add Linux servers to a predominantly Windows environment. On the desktop, 30% of businesses expect to have a few Linux PCs in their businesses, but only 5% plan a total migration to Linux. A majority, 57%, plan no changes for Windows on the desktop. The report cites a number of factors for complete caution in moving to Linux, most notably the increasingly complex calculations required to determine whether such moves are cost-effective.
Okay, I read a story the other day similar to these lines where Microsoft had released a report saying the total cost of ownership for a 2003 Microsoft server was a lot cheaper than Linux, and the computer that they tested with the Linux was like a mainframe, like a real server kind of computer. And the computer that they tested with Microsoft was a PC. And that makes a big difference on the cost of the
oh, really?
Ownership.
Well, that's because the cost of them. I forget how much. I got an evaluation version of 2003 server.
Yeah, I have a, quote, evaluation version also.
Actually, mine came from Microsoft. That's what I'm trying to say. But, I don't see how. Like, if you put them side by side, that's the only way they can do it. You put them side by side, Linux is free, Microsoft is not. Linux is secure, Microsoft is nowhere near being secure.
People say you have to take training classes to use Linux. what the fuck is MCSE? I mean, it's fucking training that says you know how to use Windows.
I know there are. Red Hat does have a certification. I don't know how much it costs, but it can't be as fucking much as Microsoft's. Their lower versions are $100. The last time I took one. Now it's for Microsoft. What was before? NT. That was $100 just for a low grade one.
Mm-hmm.
Certification. The higher ones you got, of course, are more expensive. So they're expensive. Fuck them. Whatever.
Fuck them.
Go on, man.
Speaking of expensive things and the place that I'm employed by, well, part of our job is when we sell something, we have to offer this thing. It's called the City Advantage Plan. And pretty much it's an extended warranty on the crap that we sell. And pretty much you need it because of the crap that we sell. But anyway, the Wall Street Journal actually did a little report on this, on these extended warranty, this service contract. And it says, you should buy insurance products, this makes a lot of sense to me, to protect yourself against a catastrophe. For most people, having something happen to a piece of electronic equipment isn't going to be a catastrophe. And then it goes on to say that an extended warranty isn't always a bad idea. Some products are actually more prone to problems than others or easier to use. And then they had this awesome chart of how well products hold up. And that the shittiest on the chart is the desktop PC. Within 5 years, 37% of them have been repaired or had a serious problem. Now, obviously, they did somewhere testing other than Mississippi, because there are some fucking idiots in fucking Mississippi. Like, people will come to the store because their computer is broken, very, very mad. Oh, so mad. Because their kid was downloading all kinds of shit, and now their CD-ROM keeps opening and closing mysteriously, and their screen keeps flipping around. Or, like, their computer's so slow and full of fucking spyware, it won't even boot up. And,
But the thing about that is that this test they do, that software problem is not hardware.
Yeah.
So you can't blame the hardware. I've really had no, since I've been using a computer for the last, I don't know how many fucking years, a decade plus, I've never really had any problems with hardware. If it worked when I got it, it usually worked for a long time.
Yeah.
It's the software that's fucked.
Down that list is a little bit, like 32% is like a lawn tractor or riding mower. And they don't have laptops on here. Digital cameras have 11% failure rate. A projection TV is 20%. 30 to 36 inch TV is 11%. A 25 to 27 inch TV is 9%.
What's the highest on that list?
The desktop PC at 37. But it doesn't say laptops. And I would think a laptop would have more repair than a desktop.
Yeah, I've dealt with more laptops fucking up hardware wise than PCs.
Yeah.
Okay, a federal judge has ordered a permanent injunction against a Rhode Island man after he allegedly sent millions of unsolicited short text messages to Verizon Wireless customers. Jacob Brown was accused of... That's our cunt of the week.
Excellent.
Jacob Brown was accused of transmitting ads for mortgage leads, adult content, software, and herbal supplements between March and July. He allegedly sent approximately 4.5 million messages, 1 million of which eluded the carrier's filters, Verizon said. According to the suit, Brown was assisted by numerous but unidentified defendants. The company's original pension includes 50 John Doe defendants. In addition to the annoying customers, the defense allegedly spoofed the internet protocol address of innocent people in order to distribute the messages. Verizon Wireless said spam for adult websites reached customers who are under 18. Verizon Wireless said that the delusion of messages strained its computers, switching, and transmission facilities. It has unsuccessfully asked the judge for more than $150,000 in damages. So this guy's an asshole, and I wonder how much did – they didn't say how much the customers got charged, because text messages are 10 cents a pop.
Yeah, it didn't say they paid them back for that.
No, Verizon's just saying, it bogged down our system, pay us money. They're not saying that, that's 4.5 million text messages.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of fucking money. What is that, $450,000?
Something like that, buddy.
I'm glad you're interested in the article.
No, no, I'm listening.
Yeah, but that dude's the cunt of the week, Jacob Brown. I love you.
I love you, Jacob Brown. Okay. Is it my turn? I'm sorry.
If you were paying attention, you know that.
I'm typing Jake Brown so that we can rehash that he's the cunt of the month.
Okay.
Or the week. Who has cunt of the month? That's not us, is it?
No. No one has that.
That would be a different show.
That would be a different show.
All right. Anyway, Microsoft. There's a real pretty little drawing of Bill Gates here on this article. And Friday they announced they're going to remove one of the three core things that they're going to integrate into Longhorn. Now, Longhorn is not just a big moneymaker for Microsoft, but it's going to be a big moneymaker for all the computer retailers. Because everyone's going to have a new computer that's going to run Longhorn. And Dell and Hewlett-Packard and all the rest are very excited about this. Now, I don't really feel that most people need to buy a new computer when their old computer is probably still good enough, just as soon as they learn how to use it properly. And a lot of people are starting to feel this way. They're like, I can burn DVDs, I can burn CDs, I can record my television. Why should I have to spend $3,000, $2,000 a couple years from now to buy a new computer? So they're trying to come up with new features, and they're trying to come up with a new operating system. These three features for the Longhorn operating system that are going to be the major big deals are WinFS, which is the new file system, Avalon, which is going to be the three-dimensional desktop, and Indigo, which is going to be the we're going to fuck you out of your time and money for Microsoft. That's the big new things, and they're removing WinFS from Longhorn. And this thing's going to come out in 2006. They've spent 10 years working on this version of Windows, and they can't even get the file system up right. It's going to be an update that's going to be installed later. And that, I'm sure, is going to cause a lot more trouble than a little Service Pack 2, because making everyone change their file system is a lot harder than making everybody run Norton. Microsoft's taking that out. They're telling us now that they're going to be able to have a Windows update for this, and that they're going to have an update for XP for this Avalon and this Indigo. I'm sure Avalon will not have a Windows update for XP, because they're going to want you to buy Longhorn if you want the three-dimensional desktop. Indigo is going to help software developers build new types of internet commerce services and software for sharing and accessing information over networks. That's definitely going to be updated on Windows XP so they can fuck you a little more.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I had the same article.
Okay.
And this brings up the big problem with Microsoft, is that they're willing to get rid of important features that would help customers.
To meet a date.
To meet a date. The date's not...
Did they set?
The date... Fuck the date. It's 2006.
Yeah.
That's 2006. No one's waiting for that. No one is really waiting for that. No one cares. The only people that wait on new versions are the server people, and they got their new shit already. So desktop new users are not like waiting. Like nobody's talking, I can't wait for 2006. Windows is coming out again. No, no one gives a shit.
Well, I think the computer manufacturers do give a shit, because that's going to be a big push to sell more equipment that people don't need to buy.
Well, true, but by that time they'd be pushing more shit anyway.
Okay.
So, you know, I think Longhorn's not going to be – Microsoft is still waiting for the big boom like they had in 98. Well, when Windows 98 came out.
And they're not going to ever have that.
Right. Like that big fucking – like people were buying like three at a time. I remember the – you know, all the television shows were – you know, television shows were like, you know, had cameras at the Circuit Cities watching people buy Microsoft Windows 98. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen again. It didn't happen with XP, and it's not going to happen with Longhorn, because people are getting tired. They just got their fucking XP fixed to the point where they're not getting fucked over, and they got to buy a new operating system and have to start all over again. With new holes, new this, new that.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
I think people are learning their lesson.
Who gives a shit when it comes out? I don't. fix your shit and come out in 2020.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to pay for it. Finally.
Hopefully by 2020 we'll have much better jobs.
I still
and we can plunk down $200 on some software.
Nah, it's still the principle of the thing, though.
All
right. Okay, Intel, the world's greatest chip maker. World's largest, not the greatest. World's largest.
Did you say world's greatest?
Yeah, like we're in a circus. Intel, world's largest chip maker, faced product delays and recalls throughout this year. But it seems that Intel has gotten their act together to produce a 65 NM chips in the near future. Even though no lack of dates have been... excuse me. Even though no lack of new launch dates have been set for the new chip makers' 65-nanometer-based chips, the company did say that they will be the first ones to introduce these chips in the market. Hinting toward AMD, Mark Bohr, Director, Process Architect and Integrations, Intel Corp. stated, others are still struggling to develop their first 65-nanometer technology. Intel's goal with the upcoming procedures will be to reduce heat throughput and lower the power consumption with sleep transistors. Basically, the power will be cut off to certain areas of the microprocessor when they're not in use, in return lowering the aforementioned factors. AMD, on the other hand, has partnered with IBM to produce their own 65-nanometer process technology to get closer to its competition. So new chips are coming out. Yay.
That's awesome. Moore's Law has yet to be beaten.
Exactly.
But this goes back to my whole argument that people don't need computers. What are these new chips going to go in? Just servers, things like that?
Doesn't say. This is
like
short
home
article.
PCs are, you know, kind of topping out.
Well, they're still coming out with those, supposedly with the living organism processor.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that.
Like, I have trouble feeding my dogs. I don't want to be feeding my computer,
You think
computer
you have to
too.
Inject it with insulin every once in a while?
Maybe.
What happens if that bitch gets out? And gets pissed off.
All right. This is something that's kind of cool to me, because of the date of it happening. But a gang of Russian cybercriminals has helped accomplish what antitrust regulators couldn't. They reduced Microsoft companies' share of the market for web browsers, even just by a bit. Millions of computer users this summer tried to avoid an attack by computer hackers in Russia. That's their words, not mine. By installing free software from the Mozilla Foundation, which are my words, because fuck yeah, go Mozilla, a non-profit corporation in Mountain View, California. July marked the first time since Microsoft vanquished Netscape Communication Company in the browser war of that the software giant share of the web browser fell. Federal appeals court confirmed that Microsoft acted illegally. Now, some of y'all might not remember this, in the browser war, but a settlement with the U.S. Department of Justice has little effect on the company's dominance. Microsoft still holds about 93% of the browser market, down from 95% in June. Now, downloads of Firefox and Mozilla were awesome. Firefox just went the hell up. Everybody's telling them, use Firefox and Mozilla because it's a lot more nimble. And it helped lift the number of requests for downloads of all Mozilla software to 10.8 million in June. 10.8 million, that is a lot of people using Mozilla.
And it also helped that Microsoft was getting, like, you know, fucking viruses and attacks toward their browser.
This is more than double the previous month's figure of 5.2. In July, download requests hit an all-time high of 14.6 million. 14.6 million in July. That's awesome. In July, 95.48% of web surfers still use that Internet Explorer. But on August 20th, which is my birthday, shares dropped to 93.84%. So Mozilla's gaining. And it's not just Mozilla. It's Opera. It's I use Lynx a lot. It's others coming in and filling the gap. And I was talking to a guy in the store the other day, and he said, you use Linux? And I said, yeah, because we've been talking about that. And I told him I have a whole computer that does nothing but text-based Slackware. And he said, what the hell good is that for? And I told him straight up that when I go to my house and I sit at my computer and I turn my monitor on and I want to check my email, I fucking do it. And then if I want to look at a website, I fucking do it. If I want to talk on IRC, I fucking do it. I didn't say fucking to the customer. I've been drinking a little beer now. But I don't have to worry about my computer crashing. I don't have to worry about updates. I don't have to worry about getting a virus. I just check my goddamn email, and it works. And that's what a computer is supposed to do for you.
You got anything to say? Fancy, the fancy blinking lights and graphics are just gravy.
Mm-hmm.
It's gravy.
It's gravy.
The web is information. You could get information through text.
Yep.
The eye candy is for the idiots.
And us, too, because we like pretty things.
I like the blinking lights.
I'm actually trying to figure out how to, if you ever used BIOS, back in the day, they actually had computers called B-boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And they had kind of a speedometer done in lights. It was a row of lights that would go up and down depending on how much your processor was used. And it was these little blue LEDs out in front of the computer. I thought that was really cool. And I would like to have that again. But anyway, go ahead and tell your story, buddy.
I don't have a story.
Are you out?
No.
Tell your article.
Yeah. Okay. Orion Multisystems, a startup company based in Santa Clara, California, announced personal computers for researchers, scientists, and engineers yesterday. The desktop personal computer will have 12 microprocessors, but interestingly, the computer will consume the same amount of power as a normal PC with one microprocessor. Orion's computers will deliver 10 times the performance than standard desktop computers. The two models, one with 12 microprocessors and one with 96 microprocessors, are expected to cost around $10,000 and $100,000 respectively.
Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. The $100,000 model, so to speak, will consume around 1,500 watts of total power. According to Orion, both models are expected to ship in October. Orion is also planning to use freely available software, namely Linux, to operate its computers. The company is getting some skepticism from industry analysts, as some of them believe these computers are not needed in the market. On the other hand, however, many labs and research facilities have shown interest in Orion's upcoming products. The problem with this is that industry analysts, the computers are not needed in the market. So the fuck what? You build them anyway, you test them out and see what happens.
Yeah.
If we believed industry analysts the whole time, we wouldn't have computers here in the first place.
I'm sure Orion has some industry analysts that work for it that say, yeah, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, these computers are not going to be used in homes or... I like to see how big these things are.
Unless the homeowner is very cool.
And very rich. $10,000 for a computer... I wonder if this doesn't say how fast this thing goes. 96 microprocessors. That's the thing about it. It says desktop personal computer. How big is mm-hmm. that? It doesn't say how big it is. If it's the size of the computer I have now, that's a lot of fucking tiny processors. And I wonder how fast these processors are.
Well, if anybody knows, they should email us up.
Send us a pic. Yo.
And send us a picture.
Yes.
Okay. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Excellent. This is back to me hating stuff. And I've never been to a Bruce Springsteen concert, but he's known for having like 4-hour sets.
Born to Run!
Yeah, that guy. And like, I like to go to Widespread Panic concerts. Because they play for like 4 hours also. Like they just go on and on and on. And they'll have a song that'll just last 20 minutes. Or if there's a problem with the equipment because a bunch of doped up hippies were setting it up, they just play a solo, whoever can play. Like, what? Grateful Dead? The Grateful Dead had long concerts also. I have a couple of their DVDs. Anyway, where I'm going with this is a lot of... top acts are having a little problem with playing real long. They are charging a lot more money than they used to charge. Like Madonna, she has dozens of albums and countless top 40 hits, and she played an hour and 40 minutes on a recent tour, and the average ticket price was $174.
$174 fucking bucks?
Yeah.
I better fucking have dinner with her, and she better fucking play a five-hour-long show.
There better be some nipples, I mean, something.
I want to see her get a fuck in the ass by a donkey. I want a five-hour-long show. She only played for how long?
Hour and 40 minutes.
That's it?
Yeah.
Is that like
$200?
Normal?
And then you bought the T-shirt and then some beer to put up with Madonna, and you're way over $200 there.
Well, then again, if you pay that much for fucking Madonna show, you should fucking get raked up the ass anyway.
All right. The Stokes, they're pretty cool, right?
Whatever, I don't know.
I don't know. They were touring to promote their sophomore record, Room on Fire, and they played a 55-minute set at the Fillmore Auditorium. Like, a concert that lasts 55 minutes? That's fucking horrible.
Well, how much was the concert tickets, to say? I don't care. That's still fucking too short of a show. A concert should be at least 2 hours long.
Yeah.
At least.
Now, the Pixies are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a concert, and they're only playing their hits. They're not playing the B-side. And most Pixie fans, it says here, disagree with that, and they want two-hour sets, not just a quick little shitty concert. And there's a couple artists that are still playing these long concerts. And when I read their names, I don't agree with some of them. Like, fuck Metallica. Fuck Metallica. But
Metallica's always played long sets, though.
These are all bands that have lasted for a long fucking time, or guys that lasted for a long fucking time. Like, Eric Clapton plays at least a two-hour set. Metallica does at least a two-hour set. David Bowie. Simon and Garfunkel play at least a two-hour set.
They're not dead yet?
No, they're still bridging over troubled water, baby. And Gloria Estefan and Prince. Prince plays over a two-hour set.
Oh, that,
I think that's funny.
Got not to see.
you get your money's worth in 2 hours. You're not getting your money's worth in, you know, an hour.
Carve it.
That's fucking insane.
Well, we should close the show with a Prince song.
Women like girls rule my world. Simply rule. Anyway, and then there's some jam bands, like Widespread Panic, Dave Matthews kind of bands, that really, really don't quit playing. Like Dave Matthews,
but that's the thing.
Really
I couldn't watch Dave Matthews for that long. It put me to fucking sleep.
They felt the vibe at their concert at Folsom Field in July 2001, and they went 15 minutes past the venue's 9:30 curfew. They got fined $15,000, but they recorded it, sold the live disc and a DVD live at Folsom Field, and
made their money back.
You know, like, people are bitching that, you know, it's, oh, we can't steal because it's all about the artists. And the artists are fucking you in the ass. If you go to a concert and they don't sing for 2 hours, you should never buy their stuff again, ever.
At least 2 hours.
Even if they suck. I've been to bands that, you know, don't even have, like, a song that you've ever heard before. And they can play for 2 hours. You know?
You gotta realize, we're doing... I don't understand.
This show almost lasts that long.
Our show is 90 minutes long. An hour and a half.
And the show's not as good as a concert, but it's free.
Yeah, so stop bitching.
And I sing when I've been drinking. Okay, go ahead.
Nothing important here. It's just basically IT spending to grow modestly next year. It just says IT spending in the forecast to grow in high single digits next year and remain on pace through 2008, according to two reports released Monday by Forrester Research. Basically, you're looking for a job, like me, you can't find one, we're going to get help.
Score.
Yay. That's all that one. That's it. I just want to give everybody hope.
Well, I have a little hope because I need a new job.
Also,
especially when they hear my radio show.
I got a radio show. You're fired. Okay, San Francisco sues Microsoft. Despite numerous out-of-court settlements with various state governments around the country, it appears Microsoft's legal woes aren't over yet. The city and counties of San Francisco and Los Angeles, and the counties of Santa Clara, whatever the fucking Spanish names are, all in
San Juan and Jose
and Jose Cardino, whatever the fuck, all in Northern California announced on Monday a class action suit for the recovery of damages. The suit claims that unlawful profits were gathered by Microsoft as a result of Microsoft's contributions to restrain trade, destroy competition, and monopolize the world markets for personal computer operating systems and word processing and spreadsheet software applications through a broad spectrum of acts and practices that violate the antitrust and unfair competition laws of the state of California and the anti-fisting laws of California.
The anti-whom?
Fisting.
Okay.
It's illegal to stick 4 to 4 fingers up somebody. Okay. Don't ask me how I know that. According to the lead counsel for the plaintiffs, Eugene Crew of Townsend and Townsend and Crew, and the original out-of-court settlement between California and Microsoft, the judges exclude the city and county governments for participating in the lawsuit, blah, blah, blah. Basically, they get sued. They get fucked up the ass by San Francisco, the fruitiest city in the country.
Okay, all right.
That's it. You been to San Francisco?
I have been to San Francisco.
It's Rice-a-roni, baby.
Right? It's the San Francisco treat, baby.
That's correct.
This show is also brought to you by Rice-a-roni. How are we doing on time?
You're right. It's about that time, dude.
It's about that time? Well, I'm throwing this article away.
Oh, good, because we're going to go ahead with Shirley Q for the week. Go ahead, right. Shirley.
How you doing? This is Shirley Q. Lickerhorn. I do not understand why do these bugs be up in my house. I have sprayed everywhere, night and day, baby, day and night. But they just keep coming back. It looks like they love me. Yeah, little bugs. Come here, little cockroach. You so cute. It got to the point now where I start feeding them every night. Well, they don't need to go hungry. Poor little bugs. Last night I had so many leftovers, I just, instead of putting them in the sink, I just put them on the floor. Make it more easy for them roaches. Ew. I believe in loving all creatures. Uh-huh. They want to get as close as they can. Except where I draw the line is I don't want no roach climbing my ear at nighttime. I'm scared of that.
Okay, and that's Shirley Q. And
damn, Shirley.
She's quick, isn't she?
She's fast, old bitch.
Okay, we pretty much gave our list for the week already. I was supposed to come up with the word of the week?
Yes.
Volvo. They make cars.
Oh, how sweet. The cunt of the week was Mr. Jake Brown. Who did what, Mr. Office Caden?
He fucked somebody over. And what
fucked
was
over.
And what was the phrase of the week?
The quote of the week. Well, I'm having trouble understanding exactly what is meant by this quote. Maybe you or the listeners can help me out. It's a quote by Mr. Jack Valenti, who I really fucking hate.
And well, somebody should murder this asshole. He should be the cunt of the week.
He should just be the cunt every week. But let's give a little background information about Mr. Jack Valenti. When VCRs came out, he was very against VCRs because it was going to ruin the movie industry. And VCRs and DVDs, if you notice, they're still putting movies on them. And the reason they do that is because it makes an excessive amount of money.
More than they move in the movie theater.
Yeah. But he's an idiot. And he doesn't understand technology as it comes out. But he's an old man. And granted, when he was young, he was technology.
When he was young, he was an idiot, so it doesn't matter.
But this guy is just an idiot. Anyway, an interviewer asked him, "What would you say to a mom who wants to make a backup of her kid's DVD movies?" And Mr. Valenti, I don't even understand what he meant. Really? And I'm going to tell you what I think he meant. He said, when you go to your department store and you buy 10 cognac glasses. Now, first of all, this guy is rolling in the money if he's comparing shit to cognac glasses.
Did he say department store?
Yes.
Where the fuck you go to the... What? The Sears?
Dillard's, I guess, buddy. Huh? He's in Dillard's buying cognac glasses.
You could buy that at Dillard's?
Anyway, and then he says, and then 2 weeks later, you break two of them. The store doesn't give you two backup copies. Where did this backup copy thing come from? A digital thing lasts forever. And he kind of made sense by a digital thing lasts forever. And he made sense by the store isn't giving you a backup copy. But that wasn't what the question was asked. Because it's not one. It's not costing anything if that woman makes a backup of her kids' DVD movies. And two, yes, a digital thing lasts forever, but a DVD doesn't. You let your kids watch Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs too many times and they scratch the fuck out of it. It doesn't last forever. And then that same mom has to go buy the same fucking movie from Mr. Jack Valenti.
But the thing about it, what they'll argue is, this will be their point, they're saying that you do not own the information on disc. You own the physical disc. So so once you fuck up that disc, you do not own any part of it
Well,
anymore.
If I own that fucking disc, why can't I broadcast it to anyone that I want because it's my disc?
No. You own the physical disc, not the data on it.
Why can't I give my disc to all my friends?
That means you're making copies of it, correct?
Well, what if I just gave it to you and you listen for a while, and I gave it to somebody else and they listen to it for a while?
That's not against the law. Nobody will argue that.
Okay.
No one will argue that. That's really their backup argument, is saying that you own the physical disc, not the data on it. So if you make a backup copy of it, you're making backup of the data on it. That's not legal. If you share the data, that's not legal. You can crack that disc into 15,000 pieces and give it to whoever you want. But do not take the information off of there and share it. That's where they're going to argue.
Okay. And where was that argument brought up in his quote?
Oh, I'm just mentioning that.
Like, he's saying that the store's not going to give you some backup glasses. Well, I'm not asking for backup DVD from them. I'm asking to retain my own. And once you break a cognac glass, you still drink cognac.
Yeah, out of the bottle.
You know? And that's
who
the
has
way
cognac
to drink it.
Who has cognac glasses?
This guy! They're so important to
Jack
him. He
Valenti.
Uses them as a reference.
Jack Valenti, do you not
drink... I talk about my dogs and, like, my iPod, because that's what I have.
Jack Valenti, do you not drink milk out of the carton, you arrogant cunt? I do!
I drink beer right out of the bottle. I don't pour it into a beer bottle or a beer glass.
That fucking man doesn't drink beer. He's drinking cognac.
Anyway, this guy, when you start comparing things to cognac, you have too much money.
Okay.
And you should just not make any more.
So we hate Jack Valenti.
Oh, yes.
Okay, man. This is – okay. We're going to close the music. It's going to be Project Pitchfork, song's Time Killer, and – this has been episode 9.
This has been Droops and my other host.
Obfuscate it. And until then, we're Mickey Finn.
get mad.